guys with beards, one guy with sideburns and a soul patch. A podcast about American craft beer for beer lovers all across the country. From Boston to Dallas to Las Vegas, this is Beer Coasters. Hello and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in American craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. I'm your host this week. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada. My name is Toby, and joining me is...
You would think that he would be a little more excited, seeing how it's the new year, and...
I was excited.
You sure don't sound like it.
I was until you guys made me do it over.
This is Chris in Dallas, Texas.
And I am Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
And so, yes, Happy New Year to everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the very first podcast of 2010.
Woo-hoo.
Ooh, we had a nice little break over the holidays.
2010.
Oh, yeah, 2010. It's not 2010, it's 2010. That's right.
I like it that way.
We had a nice little unintended break.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But it's great to get back. I was itching.
Turn of events.
Yeah.
I've been getting excited about getting back into the show, drinking some beers. So this week we are kind of do a year in review of the beers, and we wanted to focus in on some new breweries. New year, new breweries. Not necessarily new as in they just opened new, but new to our podcast. Or they could be new, just opening, whichever these guys have decided to do. Mine's not necessarily that new. And we're not going to do a fermentation conversation this week. Instead, we're gonna kind of do a year in review, and I'm going to try and put together some highlights,
if
you
will.
Pieces,
sound bites.
A highlight reel.
There we
right, are. Mike?
Reel,
would it be
yeah.
on a reel?
Yeah.
Kind sure. of like...
You
I don't
keep
know if
using that analog
the ones
talk.
And zeros mean a reel, but hey, I'm a little old school, you know.
That's right.
So anyway, in our tasting flight this week, Chris, what are you trying?
Beer,
I am trying the Moose Drool from Big Sky Brewing.
Ew.
That would fit right in with our backwash segment.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if we get backwash from a moose. That would be interesting.
That would be cool.
I'm
and right
trying,
here, I would make some funny quip of like imitating a moose, but I honestly don't know what a moose sounds like. So,
yeah,
it's kind of
well, isn't
like
it?
Grunts and whistles,
like a big cow, I guess.
What like a bullwinkle always say?
Like a whistling cow, basically, is kind of what they sound like. Insert moose sounds here.
What are you trying this week, Mike?
I am trying a beer from a brewery in Haverhill, Massachusetts. It's called Haverhill Whittier White. It is their Belgian wit beer.
It's not Whittier White?
Not Haverhill?
No, it's spelled Haverhill, but it's Haverhill. And it
right,
might be Whittier White.
You guys say
you might
stuff
be right.
wrong back
I think
there.
It might be Whittier White. Yeah, we say
I think,
something
it, I think it's Haverhill, and you guys just don't know how to say it.
That's right.
Whittier.
That's right. We're all retarded, all right? We're retarded, and we say Haverhill.
Haverhill.
Smile.
Whitey Whiteys.
Today, I will be trying Maui Brewing Company's Coconut Porter. So, yeah, we got our Tweet of the Week also this week, and we'll try out some backwash. I don't know if we've got any this week.
We shall see.
We might not.
Maybe we'll make
them. We'll see in the next hour.
I think people were kind of tied up with the holidays and all.
I think I hear the moose calling.
Or they were all upset with me for
yeah.
being so late with the Christmas issue. Sorry.
Technical difficulties
and then we'll do some,
will happen from time to time.
We'll wrap everything up in last call, give everybody our pint rating, so stick around for that. And so yeah, let's drink roll into our rest of our show, guys. Beer coasters.
Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna drink some beer. Yeah, this is a fermentation conversation. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Love that sound.
Hack 'em open.
You know the sound I love better is the sound you get when you're pulling the tap handle back on your kegerator, baby.
Nice.
So we want to talk real quick about, you know, we're not doing a fermentation this week, but we are all kind of drinking our own little whatnots.
Brews of choice.
Yeah, we're doing a little sippy sip while we fermentate conversate thing.
Tell me, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Sierra Nevada's Celebration Ale. Of Got a keg of it for Christmas.
Awesome. Nice.
All to myself. No, Gina. Me and Gina. I need help, though. Seriously.
Yeah.
You guys come out to Vegas and help me drink this.
Any listers out there in Las Vegas area, stop by Beer Coaster Toby's house for a fresh pint of Sierra Nevada Celebration Ale.
Aces and Ales tapped it, I think, the week of Christmas. They tapped some celebration, and they were giving away pint glasses. And Gina was able to go down and get one. It was like the first 48 people to get a celebration got a free pint glass.
Nice.
Celebration pint glass. So I was like, hey, you're on that side of town.
Stop in.
And you get a pint of celebration.
Nice. Nice. Didn't go wrong there.
Oh. Yeah. Mm. So, Chris, yeah, let's go through and let's talk about some faves
Past. I want to talk about what I'm drinking right now. You got a chance to do it.
Sorry.
So
keep in mind we're not gonna review these beers.
We just want to let you know what
we're gonna sip and talk.
We might mention if they're good or not, but I'm drinking a limited release from Lagunitas Brewery, which I believe is also a new brewery. I don't think any of us have tried anything from that before. Not exactly my region, though, so I'm not actually reviewing it. I'm doing their cappuccino stout.
I can't even get Lagunitas out here.
Excellent.
No, it's not.
Well, speaking of can't even get, I have a beer from San Diego, California, by a brewery called Ballast Point, and this is their Victory at Sea. This is a coffee vanilla imperial porter. And it's like one of my favorites. And I found a bottle on New Year's Eve, I had to pick it up.
I love that beer.
So choice. If you have the means, I highly recommend picking one up. It's chocolate and coffee, vanilla. It's so good. So good. But I'm not reviewing it. I'm just drinking it.
But it's awesome.
Mm.
I still haven't tried it.
Oh, it's so good. So,
it's very nice.
So, Chris, are you ready to talk about some of your favorite beers of 2009?
I think I am. So, 2009 has been an interesting year. We started the podcast, and we've managed to keep it going, which is a very impressive feat for us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, there are definitely times when it's like, is anybody even listening? Are we sure we still want to keep this? But they are, we appreciate the people that do listen.
Which was never really the point in the beginning.
No.
The beginning was just, hey, let's find an excuse to drink beer once a week and talk to each other because we're so far away from one another.
Yeah. Wow. And it's worked out. It's worked out really well. I think over the course of the year,
it's been fun.
Over the course of the show. Now, this is sort of we're doing a year-end special, you know, kind of what we liked. It's not necessarily our top picks of the year or once we have our 1 year show for our show, then we'll look at doing something like that. But as far as this show, it's more of just
52.
This is more of a
we're going to do this for a year
reflecting show. I hope so.
Yes.
So sort of my three standouts for this year, I would have to go with the Double Bastard from Stone Brewing, because it's just one of my all-time favorites. I love that beer. It's just consistent, awesome, great.
Good choice, motherfucker!
Second, I would go with the Rogue Hazelnut Brown Nectar that we had.
Also very nice.
That one knocked my socks off, because I just wasn't fully prepared for what it was, because I had never had it before, and man, that is some good stuff.
Who really is prepared to have their socks knocked off?
That's what exactly. And I think my last sort of fave for the year would be the Aloha Plenty collaboration with Stone Maui.
Ooh, two Stone beers.
Yep. Well,
big surprise, Stone's from Crystal.
Yeah, is my favorite brewery by far. So, but it was a collaboration with Stone Maui Brewing, which you're doing for your tasting flight this week. In fact, I think what you're doing for your tasting flight this week is sort of part of the blend that they did.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
Because it's a coconut macadamia nut
porter. Right.
And then Ken Schmidt, who's a home brewer, who helped develop the recipe. Anyway, good stuff.
God bless
him. Good stuff. Yep. So those are sort of my three faves for the year. I also wanted to throw out a couple thank yous to a few people. First and foremost, Crazy Dave for being the fourth beer coaster. I mean,
big time.
Providing us with some beer and providing us with some backwash.
It is pretty amazing how much shit that he talks and still
listens.
Is able to. Yeah. He's so dedicated, but yet... Well, I mean, that's Crazy Dave. That's what he does. He talks shit.
Awesome. and then also Tom from Dallas, who provided a lot of input there towards the end of the year. Really appreciate that. And then also I want to give another thanks to two guys from the Market Street grocery store near me, who've been a tremendous help, Roy and Mike. And Roy especially, because he actually picked me up a bottle of the Utopias, which I have sitting right in front of me right now. But I'm waiting. I'm not cracking it open. I think later in the year we're going to try to do a live beer coasters tasting of the Utopias, where we'll all three actually be together to taste it.
Whoa. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Ten.
But yeah, that's sort of my thank yous and my favorites for the year.
Cool.
Very nice.
What about you, Mike?
Well, I had a few things. I wanted to mention the Can Show, which I really enjoyed, was really surprised by. I had New England Brewery's Atlantic Amber, and it was just a really good malty amber. It wasn't like a lot of the amber lagers that I've had. It was really malty and just a good session beer.
I think the Can Show in general was just sort of a surprise for a lot of us.
Yeah, I don't think we were expecting the beers to be
you
know, good, which is unfortunate because...
Yeah, there's such a preconceived notion about cans that
is
very false, because it's...
Don't judge a beer by its cover. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
That's right. Go back and listen to the canned beer episode and you'll see.
Don't judge a beer by its container.
Also,
if you look at the Utopia's container, you might be like, whoa, that's got to be some good.
That's pretty good. Anchor Porter. When we had that, we had a fermentation conversation for, I think, our Porter show. I could be wrong.
That was way back.
And, that was one of our first
and
shows, I think.
It was really good. I was surprised by... just some of the complexity and the balance that had for just being kind of their regular porter. The chocolate stout from High and Mighty, their two-headed beast, was a really good chocolate stout. I like that.
Yeah.
And also agree with Chris that Aloha Plenty was incredible.
Man, that beer is awesome. Yeah.
And I wanted to mention Pretty Things Beer and Ale, which I tried the Jack Dior, I think, from them. Their brewery out of Cambridge, and the head brewer there is really knows what he's doing. It's a new brewery, but this guy's been around for a while, and there's a lot of local breweries that have recipes that are basically his. And that's I got to throw that brewery out there, because if you can find anything from Pretty Things Beer and Ale, pick it up. It's good stuff. And this Victory at Sea I'm drinking,
cool.
Good stuff.
So is this cappuccino stout. It's really good. Really strong.
Well, I wanted to, cappuccino. Some of the ones that kind of stood out in my mind when I thought about, you know, in 2009, some of the beers. And the first one that I remember was the Can Beer Show, the Black Noddy from Buckbean. One, it was because I'd never heard of the brewing company, and they were a Nevada local, which was cool. And a black lager. And I really wasn't going into, not that I thought that it was going to be horrible, but I really had no idea what to expect. And I was very pleasantly surprised, very drinkable and good flavors and out of a can, which is awesome. I brought some to San Diego when I had a barbecue, and I had a couple friends try it and they liked it. So that was one that I remember standing out. Also Alaskan Brewing Company's Oatmeal Stout, which I love that beer. It's very, very good. And another one that I was surprised by was mainly because of the style. I know you guys are big Belgian style fans. I can dig them, but I'm not a huge fan of them. But the Allagash Triple was very, very good. Mm. I'm so glad that you sent that to me, Mike, because I can't wait to try it again. I'd love to get another bottle of it sometime. Hopefully they'll end up in Nevada someday. But the Allagash Triple was just good. I just thought it was awesome.
Yeah, they're a brewery out of Maine that really knows their Belgian beers. Sure. Allagash is good.
But yeah, I would like to thank also Crazy Dave for all of his help, and Charlie.
Oh, yeah, Charlie.
And even Mr. Summers. Summers had some input a bunch of shows back, and yeah, thanks to all the hardcore listeners out there.
Yeah, I didn't give any thank yous, but yeah, thank you to everybody that's been mentioned and everybody that's listened to the show. But we should probably maybe wait till last call, and we'll thank everybody then.
Some more thank yous.
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
Wanted to cover a couple of the interesting news stories from the past year too. There's some pretty interesting stuff that happened over the course of the year, especially legally. Lots of states trying to open up, be a little more lenient on their laws, their beer laws, and then of course the whole Rock Art Brewery fiasco with Monster that was very interesting. And I don't know if you guys had any other stories that stood out in your mind.
No, I was going to, if we get into the hop.
Beer in Space.
Yeah, that was
the one more cool. The Sapporo. Beer in Space.
Beer in Space.
There was a lot of stuff going on globally, because then you also have the BrewDog coming out with their Tactical Nuclear Penguin, the 35% beer, which I'm thinking about. Yeah. I'm thinking about
world
buying
record.
A bottle of it. But the problem is it's like $50 for a 330 milliliter, which is basically half a 22. It's B11. So it's about the size of a regular bottle. But yeah, $50.
Well, I think also 2009 was a good year for craft beer in general. I think the numbers, the percentage of sales has gone up just in 2009 alone.
Yeah.
And I think that it's cool that we're not that we have any influence on that. You know, I'm going to be a little humble here, but I also think that it's cool that we're a part of the whole. I don't know if it's really a movement, but
oh, absolutely,
you know, the fact that we're involved in this type of thing that's starting to catch on, and it's,
well, it's evidenced by the amount of increase in sales for craft beer versus macro beer, because their sales have been declining this year, and conversely the craft beer has been increasing, which is interesting because craft beer prices have actually gone up this year because of hop shortages. And
the big thing was the comparison. I think we did that story about that the quality of beer that you could get for the price is kind of a fraction of the cost of what a comparable glass of wine you know, would be.
Well, it's funny.
For the most part, you do get what you pay for.
And it's funny because people, you know, I talk to people and I tell them how much I paid for this bottle of Utopias that I got. And people freak out. It's like, you paid that much for a bottle of beer? And it's like, yeah, but if you were to go out and buy a really good bottle of wine and you spend that much, people would think, oh, that's kind of expensive, but wouldn't be shocked by it.
Right.
Not shocked by it. People don't bat an eye at a $75 bottle of whiskey or something like that.
Did anybody buy champagne over New Year's Eve? You know?
Yeah, exactly. A good bottle of champagne, a good bottle of Dom, you know?
Yeah.
Or, you know, a good bottle of Top Shelf. Any Top Shelf liquor, you know, is gonna cost you a pretty little penny.
Yeah. But, the thing about the beer, though, is that when I think the article was about the economy being the way it was, that people were turning to beer because of the quality that you could get for the price in comparison to wine. And I thought that was kind of interesting, and very possible that could have definitely played a factor in why
it's funny because
becoming more
because
popular.
You can get, you know, quality cheap wines nowadays. Like, you can get a good $10 to $15 bottle of wine, but $10 to $15 for a bottle of wine, that's a cheap bottle of wine.
Yeah.
$10 to $15 for a bottle of beer is an expensive bottle of beer.
Right.
You know, so
it's all relative.
Yeah. So it's, you know, exactly. It's all relative. And the fact that, you know, we can spend a lot less money on what we consider a better product. Yeah. I said we consider.
Three out of three beer coasters agree.
Yeah. Calm down, Crazy T. Well, it's, you know, it's the whole artisan thing also. You know, you go to a nice bakery and you pick up some artisan breads. They're going to be a little bit more expensive, but you're getting high quality stuff that was handcrafted and you know, not run through a huge machine textile whatever.
Well, that's always been the thing, you know. That's been my
handcrafted.
That's been
things.
My draw to the entire craft beer movement has been the handcrafted care that goes into the creation of a beverage. You know, that's the reason that it appeals to me so much.
Yeah.
Can I just say real quick the little things that I like about the type of beer that we drink? One that comes to mind, just a little stupid little thing on the bottle cap when it says use opener. I just think that that's, I think that's cool. It's just one of those things you only see on a craft beer bottle, you know?
Yeah. I can't tell you
who does the twist off.
I think there's still a few
Pyramid
breweries out there that still do.
I think Pyramid started doing twist off this year, didn't they?
Yeah.
Maybe when they moved to their whole sport drink concept. Yeah.
Well, whatever. That's another thing.
Oh, speaking of Pyramid, I'm kind of glad that there are beer brewing companies out there that are like Pyramid, which we like to call Gateway craft beer.
Gateway, yeah.
I think that's cool because it introduces people into something a little different, you know. But without Pyramid, we might not have some.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I don't dislike Pyramid. I mean, Pyramid was my gateway, so to speak. Yeah. I mean,
right. Oh yeah.
Pyramid Hefeweizen was huge in my introduction to craft beer. So yeah. I don't discount them by any means. I just was referring to their moronic choice in art style.
Oh, I know.
Choice of, yeah, when they redesigned
for the labels.
That was, yeah, that was silly. Silly pyramid.
But yeah, I'm all about, you know, whatever it takes to get more people to drink craft beer.
Even some of the ones that are by the big three, you know, the little ones that kind of disguise themselves as a craft brewery, but they're actually owned by a big thing. If they can get the shelf space and put those kind of different beers in people's faces, that's actually a good thing. I was just thinking about this recently about how, oh yeah, you know, we need to let people know that these are just owned by the big companies or whatever. But you know, if Blue Moon can get people trying like a Belgian style beer or a white ale, then they'll move on to Allagash or Omegang or something like
that. But I mean, the right there, it goes to show you how successful the craft beer movement has been, that the big three
when the big guys are trying to copy
they're not just, you know, putting out beers under their label, like, you know, the American ale that Budweiser tried to do, but they're trying to disguise it so that they don't know that it's from them.
Yeah.
You know, although we will be trying one of their beers here shortly. We are.
We're going to do a macro episode.
No. Well, we're going to do the Grand Cru episode.
Oh,
okay.
And Blue Moon has a Grand Cru now.
Interesting. And see, Blue Moon might not be the best example. Well, I mean, maybe it is the best example because, as far as I know, with Blue Moon, or I keep saying Blue Moon, Blue Moon, the head brewer, I think pretty much has free reign to do what he wants, which was a big difference, I think, or made a big difference with craft beer. So, not that I'm calling Blue Moon craft beer, because I don't really know what qualify. I don't really know the true definition of that. Maybe we'll have to ask the beer jargon guy about that. We haven't heard from him in a while.
There we go. Beer jargon guy, what is craft beer?
Whoa, beer jargon guy.
And now time for craft beer jargon. The definition for craft beer can be found in episode 4, the IPA issue. You boys should listen to your own show.
Sweet. All right, folks. I think we're ready to wrap it up.
Yeah, let's get into some drinking.
Sweet.
Well, I'm drinking, and I'm going to drink some more, and then we'll drink a little more.
And now, representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
Yeah!
What, no moo? Yeah.
Oh, that's the moose.
Oh, is that the moose?
Yeah.
Hey, rookie!
Sweet. So yeah. For my tasting flight this week, I am drinking the Moose Drool from Big Sky Brewing. This is from, as I said, Big Sky Brewing out of Missoula, Montana. Their website is www.bigskybrew.com. The style of the beer is an American brown ale. With an ABV of 5.3%, which is quite a bit of a drop from the 9.6 I've been drinking with my cappuccino stout. The ingredients, they have pale, caramel, chocolate, and whole black malts. And for the hops, they use Kent Goldings, Liberty, and Willamette.
Very different from the black whole malt.
Yes.
Right.
This is the whole black malt. The interesting note, they are now canning this along with the Trout Slayer IPA. So, you know, we talked
they're
a little bit about canning
anymore?
Before. No.
They're canning it.
Nice, Toby.
So,
that was acapella. Here goes your Toby.
Putting it in cans. We talked a little bit about the canning process in our last segment, but pretty cool. In fact, Toby, you thought I was drinking out of a can, but nope, mine's a bottle.
This episode's in the can.
Yeah. not yet. We got a little ways to go.
Oh, no, it's already in the can.
Yeah.
We're broadcasting from the can.
Rate beer rating of 84 out of 100. Beer Advocate users give it a B. And the Ahlstrom brothers also give it a B.
Well, they rated it.
Yes, and that is me popping the cap.
I heard that this one guy will give you some money if you sing into his can.
What? I don't get it.
Cans! I don't like these cans.
So on the pour,
what you got there, Chris?
I get a fairly tight bubbles on the head with
that's because of foaminess. The lasers.
Ooh, the lasers. No, that's in the middle.
Lasers in the middle.
Yeah, lasers in the middle. Pretty brown.
Pretty brown for a brown ale.
Yeah, pretty brown for a brown ale. A little bit of ruby highlights.
Ruby highlights. Mm. Ruby,
on the notes, I get on the nose, I get some biscuit, some of the malts coming through. Not much hop character. A lot of that roastiness.
Bugs Bunny.
That's good.
Now there's some hop.
There you go. Some roastiness for your new year.
Trademark the Beer Coasters podcast.
It's kind of nutty and malty. It smells really good. Like a sip.
Smells like malty nuts. Chris is smelling right now.
Oh, I'm not. I'm tasting.
Oh, he's tasting. With his nose dipped in the foamy head.
So that's the malty sweetness and roastiness is kind of coming through. A little bit of hop character balancing it out, but not too hoppy.
Is it sweet? Because I've had this beer on tap many times and it's been quite sweet.
Yeah, it's sweet in sort of that bittersweet chocolate sweetness. So not like an overly syrupy, sugary sweetness, but more of a bitter sweetness, if that makes any sense. I know those are kind of contradictory.
It's it's the bittersweet symphony of beer.
Absolutely.
I get a million of them, folks. I get a million of them.
Uh-oh.
It's tasty, though. It's you know, the sort of toffee... I know I just said not sugary sweetness, but the toffee roasted kind of
that was
bittersweet
an editing
chocolate flavors.
Uh-oh, huh?
What?
Nothing. Forget it.
No.
Okay, I missed something. Sorry. But tasty, all the same. It would this would make a good session beer. It's palatable and very drinkable. I will say on the mouthfeel, it's very watery and kind of
really
not overly heavy.
Yeah, I do remember it being, I don't know if I'd call it thin, but it definitely had a lighter mouthfeel than you'd expect.
Yeah. So those are my thoughts on the.
What about pairing it with something?
Oh, pairing it.
Still got to do that.
Yeah.
We're not changing that up for the new year.
No.
Chocolate mousse?
How about a mousse burger?
Actually, I think if I was going to pair this with something, I think I would pair this with like a French dip sandwich.
Mm.
Some really good Swiss cheese and some caramelized onions. the really good roast beef and au jus.
Nice.
That's what I would pair this with.
Sweet. Moose drool and roast beef.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
I'm not a beer drinker, but I play one on a podcast.
Everybody knows your name.
Sorry.
That's I hope right. You're a beer drinker. Jeez.
Of course I'm a beer drinker. And the beer I'm drinking this week is Haverhill Whitier Wheat. Or not white. Jeez, I can't even say it now. I keep messing it up. I said Whittier, but it's
I think
Whittier.
It is Whittier.
I don't know if it's Whittier or Whittier. Because now I don't know if I spelt, if I misspelled it, or...
It's Whittier than your average beer.
It's Whittier than your average beer.
Is this that, that KKK beer you keep telling us to try?
Oh. No.
It was Hitler's favorite, the Whittier beer.
From Haverhill.
Speaking of which, there's a pretty white chick on the label with a white dog. I don't know. Maybe. You never know. Stranger things have happened.
A guy with blonde hair and blue eyes and...
It's a girl with blonde hair and blue eyes.
Loading people anyway, into a train car.
This...
Sorry.
Oh, my God. Chris, jeez.
Only on the Just Beer, like Coasters beer podcast Coasters, can we make jokes about the Holocaust.
Poor taste. The beer is in good taste. The comments are not. Okay, this brewery was founded in 2003 as the Tap Brew Pub. Brew Pub in Haverhill, Massachusetts. The Haverhill Brewery has quickly increased their local distribution. So they actually, you can get them throughout Massachusetts and northern Rhode Island. So they've kind of expanded a little bit from their brew pub. Still not widely distributed, but you can get it a few places around here in Massachusetts, in northern Rhode Island. Their website is haverhillbrewery.com. It's spelled like Haverhill, so Haverhill. Brewery, for those of you who don't know how to spell brewery or have had too much to drink.
It's also said that way everywhere else except for there, but...
That's true. Yeah. This is their take on the Belgian wit style. The ABV, I looked it up, and it says 4.8, but on the label it says 5%, so I'm going to go with the 5%. The IBUs are 20. The interesting note about this beer is there's a top secret brewing spice. Not sure what that is, but that's because it's top secret.
Salt.
Rate beer rates this in 80. Salt.
Pepper?
It's not funny that you say that. Rate beer rates this 81 out of 100. Beer Advocate users rate this a B, and the Allstrom Brothers, even though this beer is basically only available in Massachusetts, have not weighed in on this beer.
Our own backyard, and they don't even weigh in on it.
Yep.
What's up with supporting local?
Tisk, tisk, bros.
All right, here we go. I'm going to pour this into my Cheers Hefeweizen glass.
Where everybody knows your name.
Because I'm representing Boston, unlike the Allstrom Brothers. Oh, is that a song? Brothers?
Oh.
Snap a doozle.
I love you guys. I don't think we'd have a podcast if it wasn't for websites like Beer Advocate.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, no, we love Beer Advocate.
So.
Woo.
Very, citrusy in aroma, but the color is very, very, very light.
Very light.
The head has dissipated rather quickly.
It's almost white.
Yeah, it's very, whitey. Very light. Yeah.
It's kind of whitey.
It's one of them. It was one of them light skinned beers. So, very lemony. citrusy aroma. And you can smell that coriander in there as well. Maybe a little Belgian yeast. It's very citrusy, though.
Are you getting any of the banana?
More than
that
orange.
That a traditional Belgian or...
No.
No?
I'm not. It's got more citrus.
Okay.
It doesn't have that...
The Hefeweizen.
No. Yes, we have no bananas. I'm going to take a sip.
Me too.
The aroma is a lot like the taste. It's there's some really light malts that kind of go with it, with the taste. And kind of a flowery hop, I think. Just a tiny bit at the end. But it's kind of a... Everything I explained in the aroma with just a little bit of breadiness. Maybe a little pepperiness, like a white pepper, maybe.
Any salt?
I'm saying maybe, because it's... No salt. It's very crisp, clean. A good summer beer. If we're going to pair this with anything, my first choice was like a fish and chips, but...
salty fries.
But I used to live in Florida, and one of my favorite things to order was like as an appetizer or something were conch fritters, and I really think that this would go well with some conch fritters with some lemon and some cocktail sauce.
Cool. That sounds really good.
Good matchup for this beer. It's very light, but very palatable, good summer warm weather beer. Not quite the weather we're having right here now in Boston, but
yeah,
I will keep this in mind when the summer rolls around.
Yeah.
Sweet.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Yeah.
West Coast. This is the podcast. Today, I'm trying Maui Brewing Company's Coconut Porter. But and guess today. What? It's in a can.
Oh yeah.
Actually in all their beers that are not on premises are canned. And I believe there are only three that they offer, which is their IPA, the Coconut Porter, and their Bikini Blonde. Which their
everyone
beers
likes the Bikini Blonde.
Freaking expensive. I think on my hop topic, either the last show or the show before, where I talked about Kona and their Saison they're coming out with, and how they mentioned how expensive it is to brew their beers in Hawaii. Yeah. It's no joke, man. I think you get a 4-pack of Maui for $9 or something like that in Maui. Go to the grocery store. Oh, yeah, grocery store. It should be cheap, right? No. $9 a 4-pack. In a can. You know what I'm saying?
People, that's expensive people pawn stuff. Their cars for a gallon of milk in Hawaii, I heard.
So this is Maui Brewing Company. They're out of Lahaina, Maui. Lahaina. They've been brewing since 2005. Actually, I think more specifically, it's Lahaina Town, Maui. It's not actually the heart of Lahaina.
Dude.
It's the other part.
Lahaina Town.
My Alesmith glass is as old as that brewery.
Wow.
I hate their website is www. Cuz I broke mine and that's my favorite glass ever.
You can find them on the internet at www.mauibrewingco.com. The style is an American porter with an ABV of 5.7%, 30 IBUs. You can find these in 4-pack cans and on draft if you're in Maui.
What is this internet you speak of?
An interesting note. They say, why cans? They why eliminate cans? Light damage. They eliminate light damage. They reduce the risk of oxidation. They keep the beer fresher than in bottles. They're lighter. They chill quicker. And they can be enjoyed on beaches and in sensitive environments. And aluminum is the most recycled and most eco-friendly material. We were talking off mic earlier about saving the planet and global warming and such, and somebody was trying to accuse me of not being green. I am green. Sort of. I try. So the ingredients is they use Cascade and CTZ hops and hand-toasted coconuts.
What are CTZ hops?
I wanted to put the Beer Jargon guy to work this week because we haven't heard from him in a while. So, hey, Beer Jargon guy.
In a week?
Yeah.
Wow.
2010, bitches.
Oh, wow, wow, woo, wow.
And now time for Craft Beer Jargon. For this week's Beer Jargon, the term is CTZ hops. A CTZ hops is a name given to a hop variety that already has three names. Those names are as follows: Columbus, Tomahawk, and Zeus. Hence, CTZ.
And we're back. So the Maui Brewing Company Coconut Porter Rate Beer gave it a 96 out of 100.
That Beer Jargon
Beer Advocate
guy is a
users
working
gave it
fool.
Beer Advocate users gave it an A-, and the Ahlstrom Brothers have not tried it.
He goes to work like a doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Popping the cap on the can.
Cap on the can?
I mean, the,
yeah, there's
the
a concept.
Tab on the can.
Tab. Oops. Tab. Anybody remember Tab? That's probably beyond a...
I remember Tab.
My aunt I can't give you a tab, Phil, unless you order something.
Don't even talk about tabs, dude. Somebody stole my credit card on my birthday party.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Bastard.
But they did close up my tab and paid for it. Very weird.
Paid cash anyway. For it?
Yeah. There was only one beer on it, though.
Yeah.
Still, and they didn't use my card. Anyway.
So, sorry. Right off the bat, I've got about two fingers of really foamy, off-white head.
I would have brought the bar around.
It's an opaque, black, very little ruby highlights. Looks very nice.
The heck
on the
head
nose,
on there.
There's lots of that kind of cocoa, you know, like the Nesquik kind of cocoa chocolate. That's really all I
cocoa chocolate.
All I pick up on. There's some hops in there, a little bit of a kind of a bittering hops, slight roastedness.
Dude, chocolate covered hops.
And I can kind of pick up a little bit of that coconut. There is kind of a sweet...
Stuffed
oh, yeah, with, coconut's there.
Stuffed with coffee beans.
Oh, that smells good.
The Take sweet, sweet scent of the Beer Coasters podcast.
One of these days.
What's that I smell?
Smell-o-vision.
That's the Beer Coasters. It's got a decent mouthfeel. It's kind of a little oily, but there's... Real sweet. The coconut is very prominent. Yeah, coconut up front. A little bit of chocolate. Good aftertaste. It just kind of has a nice sweet, kind of chocolatey aftertaste.
So if I remember correctly, this is actually the same beer that they used for the blend when they did the Aloha Plenty with Stone. I'm pretty sure
it probably is.
Say, once again, good choice, motherfucker! Beer Coasters podcast.
Yeah, this is tasty.
Sponsored by Samuel Jackson Brewery.
It's pretty sweet. The hops, there's no real hops in the flavor. There's maybe a little bit of a dryness, kind of an astringent dryness in the very end, but overall it's kind of very sweet, chocolatey, coconut.
I think we have to stop using the word astringent. I think it might be too big for us.
Way too elegant.
It's astringent-y. I would pair this. It's so sweet, you know. I'd say it's a dessert beer. You could probably just have this on its own for dessert. Maybe some cookies, like some vanilla wafers.
What about some macaroons?
Ooh, macaroons would be good. It might be a little too much coconut though for this. Maybe like a what's the the pie that puts the coconut sprinkles on top, like a coconut cream pie, maybe. But see, again, there's probably too much coconut because there's enough in the beer. So I would say go with like a vanilla wafer or something like that. Just some cookies after dinner, sit by the fire, have some coconut.
Always
porter.
Curious to know how like a salty snack would go. You know, because you always say beer and pretzels. I wonder how pretzels would go being so salty. How it would go with like a really sweet, chocolatey, you know, coconut type beer.
That would be curious really
to know
well.
How that would pair.
So yeah, Maui Brewing Company's coconut porter in a can, baby. Jessica Junction says, I cannot open this beer with a lighter. I have tried. My fish and salad will not be the same now. It's the treat of the week. Treat of the week. It's the treat of the week. Treat, treat. Treat of the week, yeah.
All right, everybody. Last call.
Stop. Thanks, guys.
That was the humming of all
the
So,
the year is not over. The year is beginning.
Straight.
2010, bitches.
O-10.
O-10. O-10. O-10.
Go to a car dealership. They say it all the time.
So, here we are
the O-10s.
In last call. Episode number 33, episode number 1 of 2010.
That's pretty cool.
Let's give out some pint ratings for the beer we drank today. Chris, what you got?
Are we doing that today?
Sure.
Yeah, what beer did you just have?
Oh, for my beer, the Big Sky Jiminy Drool. I'm just kidding. Sorry. Bless you.
Bless you.
For the Big Sky Moose Drool, I'm going to give it a 3.5 pints. I enjoyed this beer. I think it'd make a good session brown ale. Wasn't like, you know, the best I've ever had, but it was definitely serviceable and had some good malty flavors and at least it didn't make me sneeze constantly. So
yeah,
sneeze.
Like Charlie with the hops.
It was very good. I appreciated it. So that's my pint
rating. Nice. Thank you from Big
Sky. And appreciation
Sky.
Is what this podcast is all about.
Dear Big Sky, I really appreciate your moose drool. Love, Beer Coaster Chris.
Nice. I like that.
It's what you got, nice. Mike?
Well, for my whitier white... or whitier wit or Haverhill's Belgian wit, whatever that name may be, I give it a 3.5. I think it's a good solid Belgian wit. It's tough because we've been doing these winter beers with the brown ales and the porters and the stouts and the dark and the jello pudding and the but It's tough to have something like this where it's so light and crisp. It's a great summer beer. But it's very, very palatable, very drinkable. And like I said, I think it would go great with some cone fritters would be my pick of choice. Or fish and chips is always a good option. A good summer beer. That's my pint rating.
Coolness. Well, with the Maui coconut porter, I like it. I mean, it's a little too sweet though. But all in all, I think it's great. It's got some good coconut. It's got some good chocolate. I would have hoped for a little bit more meatiness out of it. Kind of a more meaty porter with a nice sweet coconut chocolateness to it. But all in all, I'm going to give it 4. Give it 4 points. It's out of a can. It's excellent. It's a little expensive, but, I don't know if I want to say it's worth $9 a 4-pack if you can find it, but I mean it's well worth a try.
That's one thing we don't talk about too much.
$9 a 4-pack. It's only
we talk about the we don't talk about it so much with the price, because the prices of some of the beers that we try, even though they may be in the same category, we don't really talk about like how good the beer is for the price, like the value of the beer. And I don't know, maybe something that's maybe we'll get into that more this year, because I do think it's important. If you can find a beer that comes in a 6-pack for $8 as opposed to a 22 that you paid $10 for, and wasn't so great, I really do think that it makes a big difference.
Well, I don't think that Maui's trying to jack anybody. I mean, there's a reason why it's the price that it is. I mean, it's made a long trek, and it's expensive. Like Kona has said, it's expensive to brew in Hawaii alone. So, I still think it's good. I mean, I think the people, if they did see it on the shelf, are like, wow, $9 for 4? Not even for a 6-pack, but for 4?
For 4 cans.
No, I don't know. For 4 cans, right. I mean, you're still getting 12 ounces, but,
If you got it any cheaper, anyway, you'd be stealing from Lulu, anyway.
Yeah.
Most do.
And you can find more information about them at www.mauibrewingco.com. If you don't know how to spell Maui, it's M-A-U-I. For all you Howleys. All of us Howleys, I should say. Jeez. You guys got any websites you want to throw out there?
I'll throw out the bigskybrew.com. Yeah, that's who makes the moose drool. Get that on in the
yeah. Bottle or can.
Bottle or the can.
Yeah. I'll throw out Haver Brewery. It's Haverhil Brewery.com out of Haverhill, Massachusetts. They've actually got some awards for some of their beers. I believe they have a cream ale they've gotten some awards for, and I want to say a stout or a porter that they got. It's 4-2. Check them out.
I think they do an Imperial something.
Near Imperial something, I think, got an award.
Imperial Stout, I think they do.
Yeah, I think it's called like the Third Reich Stout.
I don't think that would get an award, dude.
No.
Maybe back in 1935 or something. You can follow the Beer Coasters podcast if you want to. We're on Twitter. You can follow us there. Beer Coasters Pod is the Twitter account. You can also become friends with us and fans of us on Facebook. That's Beer Coasters Podcast. Just search for that on Facebook and you'll find us there. Become a fan. Become a friend. We also have individual email accounts that you can contact us at. Oh, first, the Twitter accounts. Chris, what's your Twitter account? Sorry.
Mine would be B Coaster Chris.
Mine would be a Beer Coaster Mike.
And I'm Beer Coaster Toby. And our email address is imtoby@beercoasterspodcast.com.
Chris@beercoasterspodcast.com.
And mike@beercoasterspodcast.com.
And you can also email us backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com. Or you can leave us audio backwash. There's two ways to do that. Either there's a link on the website where you click on it and you put in your phone number and it actually calls you. Or you can leave audio backwash at 972-914-8502. You can also post comments directly on the website for each episode. And that website would be...
That website would be... BeerCoastersPodcast.com. Yeah, you can throw the www in there if you'd like, but it works if you just type in BeerCoastersPodcast.com. I just wanted to mention that it's pretty cool that you don't even have to do anything with the backwash. We actually call you back for the backwash. Like, if you did a little call, yeah, we're calling you. Right. So, I mean, how much easier is it to leave backwash than, hey, oh, this guy called me. All right, I'll let him know what I think of the podcast. You can find us in...
Hey, this guy's calling me.
About the beer, and he's talking on, like, the internets, and I'm going to say something. We're also on iTunes. If you search for Beer Coasters, you can find us there. We're there. It's pretty cool. See your little logo there, a little beer coaster. You click on it and see all our shows and listen. And you can check the website on Monday for next time on Beer Coasters. See what we're drinking, buy it ahead of time, and come listen and drink with us and let us know what you think.
There's something in her glass?
Yeah, it's beer.
Yeah, she's got the rest of my coconut porter.
That was Beer Coaster Gina. She just appeared on camera for a second, which none of the listeners can see. Because listeners can't
see. Thieving of the beer. So tell your friends. Thanks for listening.
Hey.
Well, hey, we're doing a podcast.
He was talking to Beer Coaster Gina.
I know. I was getting interrupted. Getting interrupted by Beer Coaster Gina. So yeah, tell your friends. Thanks for listening.
Support your local brewery.
We really appreciate it.
Drink local. With the new year comes new responsibilities. Don't drink and drive.
Thanks, Uncle Ben.
Happy New Year.
And for comments and suggestions, your favorite beer, your favorite bar, put all that in your backwash to us, either by email or phone line. We want to know what your favorite beer is and where your favorite bar is to get some craft beer.
Put all that stuff in your backwash. Just mix it all up and pour it in a glass and say cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, buddy.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, 2010, hoes.
Thank you for joining us in this issue of Beer Coasters. Podcast with us next week, right here on Beer Coasters.
It was one of them light-skinned beers.